Hey, I'm Lydia Isnanto, and this is Dreampreneurs Chat. It's a show where I chat with dream chasers all around the world who make their passion their paycheck, loving the risk they took and the job they do. On this show, I chat with Heidi Thompson, who is a business and marketing strategist for wedding business owners at evolveyourweddingbusiness.com.
My approach is much more on the individual level, really focusing on like, okay, who is this person? What is it that they value? What is it that they're really into? Why do they make the decisions they make? Because that's what underlies all sales and marketing. And if you can figure that out, it gets a lot easier.
Heidi worked with all different types of wedding professionals to help them grow their business without going crazy in the process. For a self-made woman like
me. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And again, we have another amazing lady. She is a business and marketing strategist for wedding business owners. I'm so glad to be able to have the time with you and chat with you finally, Heidi Thompson.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit more about you and how did you start this business?
Yeah, so this is kind of the culmination of a long and unplanned journey.
Okay.
So I started in events in college when I was doing nonprofit events, was getting people to come to fundraisers and things like that. And I loved the events world. I wanted to get involved in weddings. And I landed myself a position as an assistant wedding planner, which was amazing. And I loved it so much. And wedding planners have my eternal respect. But that's where I kind of realized that what I really liked about those events was the marketing side of things. I really liked, you know, making those fundraising events a success and getting the people to them. So there was a lot of transition in my life at the time. I got married. I moved to England. I was working in marketing, all sorts of different products and services. And I noticed that there was a gap in the market over there where what the wedding media was doing and what bridal shows were doing were very like Cinderella, white and fluffy. But that's like the exact opposite of what people were trying to do at the time. People wanted something more personal and something different. So I started the Alternative Wedding Fair to bring together couples who wanted something different and wedding professionals who were just doing completely amazing creative things. And I was spending a lot of my time coaching the exhibitors at my shows because I was super into marketing, so I assumed everybody was, and that is not the case. And that's really how this business was born, was branching that, you know, industry that I love, and that if wedding professionals were paid on their, you know, creativity, they'd all be millionaires. But really, it's the marketing that gets you the clients.
I mean, that's amazing because like before I moved to US, I came from Singapore.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm originally Indonesian. I live in Singapore for 15 years. I was a wedding photographer and videographer for 10 years. That was crazy, insane for, you know, like, I mean, I love the creative side of it, but then the marketing side of it, it just took so much money until in the end of the day, I realized that I don't have any profit from this business. And I think I read a little bit about you that you mentioned about clone your best client. I mean, that is a book actually that you wrote.
Yeah.
Am I right to say? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is like so great. I mean, like for the entire of 10 years, like I never can imagine like how can I clone my client, which
yeah.
I, you know, like, I mean, in the wedding industry, like we did our best and the client's so happy, but then they are just once in a lifetime kind of client, right? So maybe you can talk a little bit more about the book that you write, which is, this is such a great strategy and ideas for, I'm sure, for other wedding industry, like wedding planners, makeup artists, I mean, like wedding decorators, basically almost everything that need to learn about this. Maybe just a little bit of a preview of what is that.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
And you make a good point. You know, the wedding industry is a weird one where you have a client and then they're gone. Yeah. Like there's no repeat business from that client unless it's like for a photographer, unless you're doing like family photos later on. But there's no exact repeat business for that industry. It's weird. It's a very strange position to be in. And the whole idea behind Clone Your Best Clients is twofold. One, that the best resource that you have for your marketing that is largely untapped in almost every business are the existing people that you've worked with and actually talking to them and asking them questions and figuring out how you can find more of them in the world. And the other side of it is really looking at ideal clients in a different way. So a lot of people look at it, and I think a lot of people were taught that, you know, you have this exercise where you have like a demographic and, you know, are they male or female? How much money do they make? And that's pretty much it. But that doesn't really help you with your marketing. You know, what do you do with that information? So my approach is much more on the individual level, really focusing on like, okay, who is this person? What is it that they value? What is it that they're really into? Why do they make the decisions they make? Because that's what underlies all sales and marketing. And if you can figure that out, it gets a lot easier.
Apparently, this is like something that's affordable to do, you know, like for the wedding business. Like, I can't imagine, like, I put like $4,000 for a little bit piece of advertisement in the magazine, which in the end of the day doesn't even give me any leads, you know, because like they don't know me. But this is amazing because like you maintain relationship with the person that knows me or knows you, and a person who have a good testimony about your work, your service, and satisfied with you. Yeah, that is such a great idea. Okay, so for Dreampreneurs Chat, like this is actually not all in the wedding industry. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that curious, like how long have you started this business and how did you, do you invest in, or you start with literally zero money, you know, with this kind of business?
Yeah, so I made the transition into this business from the wedding fair in 2012. And it took me some time to kind of find my footing and decide what I was going to offer, how I was going to do it. And in terms of my business model, that has shifted from I was doing just one-on-one coaching. And then I moved into courses, but then I noticed this really frustrating gap where the people in my courses needed the coaching, the people in my coaching needed the courses, and I knew what was going to happen when someone got to the end of this course. I knew what the next problem was going to be because I had worked with enough people, and I didn't like that. It was just like, okay, goodbye forever. I guess maybe I'll come out with another course on that. So about two and a half years ago, I transitioned to a membership model where I could bring all of the courses, all of the training, group coaching, accountability, you know, all of those different pieces together into one place so I could serve people over a period of time as opposed to just being on like one specific issue.
How do you get yourself equipped or get the new ideas? Like, how do you get that support system? Well, I think in Austin, we have a lot of women business event, talks, panelists, you know? But how do you get like, you know, this specifically towards your need, which is you like weddings and you want to do something in weddings. So how do you get that support system for you yourself as a women entrepreneur? Yeah.
So personally for me, I have made some awesome friendships in the industry with people who are doing things similar to what I'm doing, but that are complementary. So like one of my very good friends is a sales coach and just does sales, and she's phenomenal with in-person sales. So, you know, I can turn to her And we both know the kinds of people that we work with, so it definitely helps. And I'm a big fan of being friends with those people who are not, I mean, I guess you could look at them as competitors, but they're not offering the same thing. They're offering something that's complementary to what you're doing, but they know enough about the people that you're targeting and the business that you're in. Because the model is, you know, they're all teaching style businesses. So it would be kind of difficult for me to turn to someone who doesn't have any experience in that style business and expect to be able to get feedback. So it's been really good for me to develop friendships with people in my industry who are, you know, like open, kind, awesome people. And who are willing to, you know, have that mentality that, you know, we're better off together. We're better off helping each other out.
That's definitely priceless to have that community or friendship even. So maybe you can share one challenge in this business and then how did you overcome it or, you know, like overcome your own burnout in that sense? Yeah.
It's funny because I've noticed this year especially, all of the challenges that I've come up against have been in my own head, which are always tricky. So, you know, I had resistance to outsourcing for a while, not thinking I would have enough. And oh my God, this greatest choice I ever made was actually, you know, hiring a virtual assistant and having her be able to take some of that burden so I don't have everything on my shoulders. But, you know, some other things are like, I resisted for a long time closing my membership, and now I've changed it to where I launch it during certain periods and then it's closed. Because I don't know, I thought I could be smarter than human psychology and beat, you know, the urge to join something when it's closing. And I still don't fully know why I did that. I don't know, maybe I was scared of what would happen, but you can always open it back up. It's not that big of a deal. So that those have been the things for me. And another one, like mindset wise, I noticed for myself that I was taking almost like personal responsibility for the results of my students. So then I was, then when I went to try to market to bring in more members, I was holding myself back because I felt like I couldn't take on that burden for so many people when I shouldn't have been doing that to begin with. Yeah, it's funny. It's been an interesting stage of business where it's all in my head. I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of work on mindset because I won't say it was like easy getting here, but I didn't run into like the weird mindset stuff until I got to this point. And then it's like, okay, want to grow this bigger. That's getting in front of more people. That's doing more things that aren't the most comfortable thing in the world. And that's definitely challenging. That's something I you know, I'm continuing to work through, but just noticing when I'm doing something like that, like if I'm procrastinating and then stopping to ask, okay, what am I hiding from right now? What should I be doing that I'm not doing? That habit has really helped me stay on track when I start to veer off to the side.
Stay right there and we will be right back.
I think all of, I mean, it's happened to me too. I mean, sometimes my head like, what actually am I doing, right?
It's funny.
And it's a well, this the fun thing about doing our own business is, you know, we get to set our own goal, even though it's a mistake, it's still a journey, it's still an adventure. And then, hey, come on, we start again, you know, it's like everything is our vision and we are like having adventure in our visions. But the challenge is we are on our own. I mean, we might have like support group or women or therapists, you know, or something. But then we are in this business 24/7 every single day. And it's amazing, like you mentioned, that you take the burden of your one of your member. I think that's most of women. We have that, you know, we have that, we want to nurture our product, our clients, our people. Like, we take personally because basically that's our women nature, that we want to help, you know, like we want to give all out. But then the boundary that we have to learn to set, that's that is something really great. Like I just watched from Brené Brown lately about vulnerability, that important to also have the boundaries. So how do you set yourself to keep yourself healthy, in the sense like you taking care of yourself, you know, do your own self-care to be able for you to serve in this line for long term?
So, I mean, when I catch myself now slipping into thinking I should do more for someone, because I think as women, we tend to over deliver. I really try to check myself against the idea of whose responsibility does this fall under? Am I in my responsibility? Did I, you know, do what I said I was going to do? Did I provide value in that way? And all I can do is pass the baton, you know, for the relay, but then that person has to grab it and they have to keep running with it. So I think identifying that line has been really helpful of like, this is where I'm passing it to you. And you have to take it and run with it from here. And I'm, I will support you, but I can't do it for you. And in terms of self-care, I mean, I see a lot of people, and this scares me a little bit, say things like, oh, you know, like hustle, hustle, hustle. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Like, I don't compromise my sleep for anybody, for anything. Like, no, that has to come first, because I will be a train wreck of a person and I will be useful to no one, including myself. You know, it's that, that thing they tell you on planes, you have to put your mask on before you try to help anybody else. So for me, I think sleep and not feeling bad. If I feel like, I just went to a workshop last week and I traveled up to LA for it. I'm in San Diego. And in the moment, I was like super energized, and it didn't actually hit me until about 2 days after I got back how taxing it was on my brain, because it was like strategy for like 12 hours a day. And so I just like slept all day on Sunday, and I was just like, this is what I need right now, and that's fine. I'm not going to try to force it. If I know that, like, this is my body telling me that I need to just lay around and watch Netflix, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, that's what I turn to, too, like Netflix and wine. That's the most beautiful things, So after all that you have been going through, so do you still like what you're doing? Like, do you still can say that this is what I'm passionate about?
I love it. And honestly, even if it wasn't this, even if I got to a point where I didn't like what I was doing, I think I would have to transition to another business, because at this point, I think I've ruined myself as being an employee for anybody. I think I have to be running a business at this point.
I can't imagine myself go back to the corporate world, 9 to 5. It's just hard, you know, like after 20 years by myself, you know,
I mean, that's a huge change. That's a huge shift. And you get so much freedom when you work on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would not give that up for anything.
Yeah. Even though you work more hours sometimes than the corporate world, but it's your own, you know, like it's your own business. Like you're just loving it.
And you can always choose to work less. You can choose to do things differently. You can choose to outsource. And that's always a good reminder to have, is that, you know, you do get a choice in the matter.
So Heidi, there's one actually question that I'm curious about, because like your line is like, you can do everything online. You can help people, equip people in marketing, everything online. Have you ever thought about digital nomading, you know, like, which is now is really a current trend to people to do everything online from Bali.
Yeah.
So could you share, like, have you ever have thought about that, or even have you experienced that? And yeah, what does that look like? Yeah.
So I really considered it. When I first started my business, I thought that was the goal. But I didn't realize how much I like having a home base. So yeah. I like traveling and then coming home.
All right.
I just really, I like my own space. I like my own bed, you know, yeah. all of those things.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want to give that up, but I do love traveling. And the fact that I can work from anywhere has come in. Yeah. Oh my God. It's been a godsend. You know, there have been times where it's like, oh, okay, like a family member is sick and you have to fly hours and hours to go visit them and help them and take care of them, but you can still keep your business running. It doesn't have to just be that, like, you abdicate it completely. So that kind of flexibility I love.
And Hai, did you coach, like, any wedding professionals
in terms, I do, like,
and any planners, photographers, videographers, or makeup, every wedding industries?
Yeah.
And so in terms of the percentage of your clients, like, so far, do you have more wedding planners as your client, or wedding artists, or?
Yeah, the two top groups are definitely wedding planners and photographers.
Yeah, wedding planners and photographers.
Yeah.
And so how do you find coaching them in the marketing ways? Like, is it the same, or is it the same strategy, or it's totally personalized differently according to their professional? Yeah.
It's pretty similar. I mean, the marketing side of things, the business side of things is pretty similar across the board. There are some things that I notice more in certain types of professionals than others. Like, I notice that photographers like to get technical with their language. You gotta be real careful with that. Like, little things like that, little tendencies.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Heidi, if for dreampreneurs out there who probably still finding out their passion and not sure if this is the right one, or should I do this or should I do that, you know, or should I step out from my full-time corporate job and start business full-time, any advice, any, you know, for dreampreneurs out there?
So I think the quote, you know, clarity comes from action.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
I think you can't figure out exactly what it is that you want to be doing until you're doing something.
That's
so
very true. Yeah.
I think a lot of times when we start things, we think that has to be, you know, how it's going to be forever. And you're not making that commitment at all. You can change it at any time. So I would say definitely get started and start trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? Even just thinking about it in terms of, like, what do I want to do first? And then, okay, maybe I don't love that, but I find another opportunity through doing that that I would have never found had I not done the first thing. And then in terms of quitting and going all in, I am the kind of person who I would rather have the certainty. So, like, I stayed in my job for quite a while, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with growing your business on the side, because the way that you look at your job changes, you know, that becomes your funding source. You know, you can afford to do things that you couldn't do if you were starting from absolute scratch. And you also don't have that, like, desperate feeling like, oh my God, I need to book somebody today or I'm not going to be able to eat. Like, I don't want anybody to be in that kind of a position, because especially if it's self-imposed, especially if you can avoid it. But I think you can definitely do two at once and kind of like scale it up and then make the decision. I mean, I've worked with people who have their business and never intend to leave their day job because they love it. So they just delegate a lot of stuff. And they're the ones handling the parts that they really enjoy doing. So there's a lot of ways to do it. You don't have to kind of try to jam yourself into one specific box. And I think it's a process of figuring out, you know, what it is you want to do, how you like to work, because a lot of times the way we think we like to work is not at all what, you know, what we actually like in reality. So I really think it's important to embrace that trial and error. I think that's probably the most important thing for someone beginning.
What are the three things that you like the most in your dreampreneur's journey? I mean, you are a dreampreneur. You have so much courage and you've done so much in your entrepreneurship. So what are the three things that you like the most with your lifestyle right now as a dreampreneur?
That's a good question. I like that. Freedom,
sleeping,
definitely.
Sleeping till noon.
Oh, yes.
Same,
freedom.
Same.
Because yeah. I've never been, and it's funny you mentioned sleep, I've never been a morning person, but when you work in the corporate world, you have to force yourself into that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I do my best strategic work in like the late afternoon, evening, night. And I can do that. And I can choose what days I work, and I can, you know, even just something stupid like go grocery shopping on a Wednesday, you know,
yeah.
and we're dead and nobody's at the store.
Oh,
you know,
I love
just
that. Yeah.
Yeah, just the freedom that it affords and knowing that I can do whatever it is that I want to do. I just have to figure out how to make it work. I am really in love with the impact that I've been able to have on other people. That's hugely important to me, because a big part of my mission is I want wedding and creative professionals to put their CEO pants on and, you know, run their business from a point of power and be able to decide for themselves what it's going to look like and not just let, you know, whoever comes to them dictate what it is that that's going to be. And then thirdly, I think probably the self-improvement side of things. I think entrepreneurship is like a guaranteed way to constantly be working on yourself and developing yourself. And I find that stuff really exciting and really enjoyable to see like what's coming, what's down the road and what's possible.
Thank you, Heidi. So
thank you.
For dreamers out there who want to get to know you more, so where can they find you and your podcast?
So I have everything over at evolveyourweddingbusiness.com. My podcast is the Evolve Your Wedding Business podcast. And you can find the book on Amazon or at evolveyourweddingbusiness.com/clone.
All right. You have Instagram too?
I do. Evolve Your Wedding Business. Everything Evolve Your Wedding Business.
Well, thank you so much, Heidi. I mean, this is so great talking with you.
Thank you. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is available on iTunes and other major podcast platforms. If you like the show, please subscribe and give your rating and review on iTunes. That means a lot to help the show keep going. You can also watch the video podcast series at youtube.com/Lydia Isnanto. See you on the next brand new chat. Until then, remember to share your story with someone, because you never know how one sentence of your life story could inspire